The News and Public Affairs Department at KWED brings to you the Saturday Topic, a weekly discussion of current events. Good morning. I'm Darren Dunn. Water has become such a precious commodity in this part of the world, and it is the focus of our Saturday Topic program this morning. We're going to talk to our friend Mike Andrews, who is now the general manager of Springs Hill Water Supply Corporation. And they've got a big election coming up. We're going to tell you more about that in a moment. But I want to first say good morning, Mike Andrews. Thanks for joining us on the Saturday Topic.
Good morning to you, Darren. It's different talking to you and not being in a football stadium with Mike McBride or Senate rockers for back in the day for people.
Wow, that's next a reference.
Yeah, that's a reference, isn't it? But I really appreciate you allowing us to come talk to y'all today about exactly what you talked about, that precious commodity of water.
You know, Mike, as he mentioned, was part of our KWED football broadcast for years, but today he has transitioned into a very important role over at Springs Hill Water Supply Corporation as the general manager. And I mentioned we wanted to start talking about just water overall. It's such an important resource, and if you don't have it, you're in a world of trouble for so many reasons. So can you kind of give us a general idea of what the water situation is around this area?
Well, first I should say that if you're within the city of Seguin or city of Marion or San Marcos or any place that you're in the city of, you don't have to worry about water. They're usually landlocked in terms of being able to expand. So they know what they have, a finite amount of water they know they need to have, and they've got it. So from that perspective, it's good. I guess the analogy I'll give you, and it's a food analogy, shocking with me, but if you picture the Seguin area as a donut, and the city of Seguin is the donut hole, it's in the middle. And as I just mentioned, the city of Seguin has plenty of water for its residents within that area. Not an issue. And Springs Hill was formed in 1967. And it was basically, if you think what Seguin was like in 1967, the whole donut around the hole was pretty much ranch and farmland.
Right.
Very few subdivisions, if any. And so the city didn't annex out into that area. It was just outside the city limits. And so Springs Hill was formed to be able to provide water to these rural areas. And at the time, as an example, Chaparral Country Club was considered rural. You know, and now that's considered kind of almost in town. And so Springs Hill started in 67 with about 450 customers by the end of 68, 69. And again, that was that whole donut, but primarily south of the river, south of downtown, therefore, going out toward where Vogel Elementary is now, going south on 1117, going south on 123 after Austin Street comes back together, and even south, you know, down that direction toward Sutherland Springs area, but still within the county. And if you look at it now, I'll even go back 3 years from now, we basically have almost the same number of customers now that the city does, but I have 11.2 times the geography I'm covering that I have to lay pipe for compared to what the city has or what the city of Marion would have in terms of everything. Most cities, it's fairly concentric. So that's, you know, that was that. I was on the board for about the last 3 years, and we started to see, this is not going to be a shock to any of your listeners. You saw the subdivision growth, especially on the north side of I-10, going up 46 or going up 123. And then the aforementioned Vogel Elementary, that southwest corner on 725, this the big Arroyo subdivision came in with about 850 houses, and they're putting another 400 in. I just signed some paperwork on that this week. So as a result, we started to see this growth. I mentioned 400 or so in 1968. As of about 2018 or 2019, you know, the COVID years are kind of a fog for one way or the other for a lot. We had got all the way up to 8,500 customers. All right. As of the end of December, we're at 11,500. So basically a close to 25 to 30% growth within 3 years, 3 or 4 years. And this is supposed to be in a downtime during COVID. And I'm on pace to probably add another 1,500 customers this year. And so that's the good news, that we've got water and there's for those folks, and that's what it is. Now, if we had background music, it would be dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, right.
there are planned subdivisions that are platted, architectural drawings done, electricity's been set up, the water lines are there for them. I don't have water for them currently. As of when I started in January with this position, coming off the board and becoming the general manager, the number was 11,500. If that is not an ironic number, it would basically double my customer base. If suddenly I just said, oh yeah, we got water for all of you. And then it would all start constructing their houses. So you see the houses that are under construction or under lived in, we've already gotten water to those. There are these fields that you don't see that it's platted that they're going to be putting in a 700, a 1400, a 900, huge. So I have to go get that water so that I can say yes. Now, since then, we've found enough water, and I'll talk about how we do that in a moment, that we've knocked that list down to about 8,500 from 11,500. So 3,000 homes worth of subdivisions, and I'm really only looking at residential. I mean, some of this is commercial. Like, there were some things on 46 where they put in the new Domino's. That was us. But we need to get this water for others. And here's where I'll start moving into it. We can, you know, eventually here talk about the SUD. Springs Hill Water is a private, not-for-profit company. We're still regulated by the Public Utility Commission and the TCEQ, Environmental Quality, just like every other water company or city water, municipal water grouping. So from a quality perspective and water, you know, water purification, it's no different.
Right.
But there are water companies out there who sell water. GBRA is a great example. Canyon Regional Water Authority, another one, great example. And in many cases, to support those organizations to sell water, they will issue bonds to raise money so they can do that. If they do that, per IRS regulations, they can only sell to other municipalities or state or local government agencies. And then if everything they sell and they have some left over, as I tell people, I'm sitting at the kids' table waiting for whatever scraps are left over water-wise. And so one of the big reasons we wanted to become a SUD is that suddenly we get to go to the adults' table and I'm on equal footing with the city of Santa Clara or with Green Valley SUD or with it's City of Seguin.
Right.
So that gives me the chance to be able to buy water and help out these subdivisions that want to break ground and build these huge number of houses.
All right, let's pause there for a second because I want to reset this, and it's a perfect place to stop because you've covered the why. I mean, that's the essence of this whole discussion. We're talking to Mike Andrews. He's the general manager for Springs Hill Water Supply Corporation. They would like that to become Springs Hill Special Utility District. Making that transition from the Water Supply Corporation to a SUD requires a vote of the people. May 4th, the members will go to the polls and make that decision about whether or not this is something that should go forward. You sort of explained the why, but sort of talk about the how this is going to happen and what it means going forward.
Okay. In terms of the how it's going to happen, it all started last year when we applied and our county and city, I won't say they gave the word blessing, but they didn't curse it. So it went on to the legislature because they needed to stay neutral, and they did. And the legislature, it was a bill in the legislature for us to become a SUD. It passed. Governor Abbott signed it. And per that, we had 2 years to be able to have an election, actually 2.5, to have an election. We chose the municipal elections are on May 4th. This is not the runoff election. It's coming at the end of May. But this is there's the city of Santa Clara has stuff. Cibolo has stuff. Navarro has a bond election on this May 4th ballot. There are other municipal utility districts, and we'll talk about how that's a little bit different or a lot different than a special utility district or SUD in a moment. They're all on that ballot. And as you mentioned, Darren, it's our members that will be able to vote. So if you live on College Street in Seguin, you're not going to be eligible to vote for at least that part of the ballot. And it's the same way when you vote in a race, it pulls up the right city council race for you. It's only going to pull up our ballot portion of the ballot for those people that need to be voting on that. So if you were in the Navarro ISD, but you weren't you were on City of Seguin Water, you would only get the Navarro ISD portion of the ballot. But let's pretend we, you know, it's for the people that are going to be on it. It's a very simple ballot. One question, yes or no for the SUD. And I'll try to talk to you about why I think it should be yes, of course. And then if you vote yes, there is a list of board of directors listed and a spot for write-in. And it could only be you can only write in a current Springseal customer's name, including your own, if you were voting. But if you vote no, then you don't have a chance to vote on the board of directors. You can't vote on a board that you don't feel should be there. And the board slate is the exact same board that we currently have on the Springseal SUD, which the governor allowed us to form a temporary board when he signed the law. So it's on May 4th. You can do absentee voting just like you can for any other election. Realistically, and I'm being generalistic here, if you're south of I-10, probably there'd be a couple of utility district things maybe, but it might be just us on the ballot May 4th. If you're north of I-10, it's probably us in the Navarro bond election. If you're west over in Cibolo or Santa Clara, it doesn't affect either Navarro or us, so it wouldn't be there. I should point out in terms of who is that, and I said if you're on College Street, you can't vote. And I talked about our donut being so large. We basically stretch all the way to the county line at Belmont on 90A going east. We stretch south down 123, down 1117, almost all the way to the county line going close to Nixon. To the north on 46, all the way to, let's say, Guadacoma Estates, or almost to Clear Springs. Up 123 all the way through Geronimo, up to, let's say, by the grain bin. Up 123 and back over to the airport at Barbarossa. And then to the west, down toward New Berlin, but not quite. Now, we're not on the other side. We're not, let's say, in by the ski lodge or on that side of 725, but we are everything on south of I-10 on 725. So it's a little bit of a gerrymandered thing, but that was how it was formed back in 67, and that's how the state said it, and that's how we are. So that's how the election will happen. If the vote goes yes, then it's actually 2 months, but that would be July 4th, so it'll be July 5th will officially become a SUD. So to your second part of your question, what does that mean? Well, by becoming a SUD, we still have all the same policy and procedures in terms of delivering water and delivering the quality of water. That doesn't change. I mentioned earlier we have the same regulatory agencies. What I can do, and I mentioned this earlier, is I can now sit at the big adults table to buy water. And here's another thing that helps me buy water or helps me do the other piece that I think we have to drastically do is I also have to reinvest in the infrastructure of my existing customers. There are some water lines out there, especially to the south of town and the aforementioned Guadacoma Estates that were built in 1967, 71, 72. These water lines are over 50 years old.
Right.
And right now, if I want to borrow money to go do some capital improvements, I go down to XYZ Bank and borrow, and God hopes I can get 5% interest. If I'm a special utility district, and I'm just going to start calling it SUD from here on in, if I'm a SUD, I can borrow through the state of Texas for 0.5% interest. If I refinance the current notes that I have that Springseal currently has, I'm already figuring I can save about $150,000 a year just on refinancing from 5% down to 0.5. Now, I would say that'll buy me at least a couple of repair trucks and some water line at minimum.
Sure.
But I can also borrow without putting us in hock into the future and putting our customers, who, by the way, are all members, and their memberships transfer, so that doesn't change either, so that we can do that. Maybe the most important thing, if I'm a Springseal customer, and by the way, I am a Springseal customer, we, unlike the municipal utility districts that will be on the ballot potentially, we cannot tax. We cannot do property taxes.
Yeah, and that was going to be a big question, is that people, when they hear district, whether it's a MUD or a water control improvement district, they think that you can levy ad valorem taxes. That is not the case when it comes to SUDs.
It's not just we don't want to. It's a state law. And so that won't happen unless the state changed that for hundreds and hundreds of SUDs that are out there. So like Green Valley to my west and East Central, they also are SUDs and they cannot do that. Crystal Clear to the northeast cannot do that. And so you're not going to have your tax situation is not going to change. The other thing people are worried about, well, oh, you're adding this state agency, you're going to raise my water rates. Will we raise water rates? Probably, as long as I'm here, sooner or later it will happen. But I will note that we haven't raised them in 3 years. And I would challenge any other business in Seguin to say they haven't changed their prices in 3 years. And we haven't. Mainly because we get a new subdivision that we can get water to. And that funds money for us to be able to do infrastructure and to pay for water and pay for other things. So that new revenue, that 30% growth I talked about just in the last 3 years, has basically kept us from having to increase the rate that we charge. We had our annual meeting last week over at Silver Center on April 2nd, and I don't want to say read my lips because that hurt a George Bush back in the past, but I pledged that we won't raise rates this calendar year. We've gotten it, and I can see the growth we have, and I'm a finance guy. That's what I've been doing for 40-some-odd years. We won't be raising the rates. Let's see. There's a whole bunch of other, you know, things that you can read about that.
Let me jump in real quick. Mm-hmm. Because I want to throw this out there from the member perspective, especially those members that have been around since the very beginning. And no one ever envisioned you would experience this kind of growth or you would have the sort of infrastructure needs that come with that in addition to the water, additional water needs that you have. What do you say to those members who are going, hey, this is not what we signed up for. Can't we just say no to some of these new developments and tell those developers we can't provide you water and then just move on and keep on keeping on?
Individually, you could certainly voice your concern with us and you could voice your concern with your county commissioner toward that. And, you know, I understand the runaway train of growth that it appears. And you'd like to at least slow the train down and be able to wave at people in the cars as they go by. I understand that how that is. Having said that, I mentioned the you know, $8,500 left that I'm going to fulfill to get me back on even keel. That's not the end of the growth. I cannot imagine that we're not going to see folks putting in commercial things around the 130 I-10 interchange. The Seguin ISD just bought land to put a junior high in on Ilka Switch, which, by the way, is within my realm, and I'm going to have to supply water. I want to supply water, but I will be needing to supply water over there on Ilka Switch to that piece of farmland that we never had to worry about before. And you're right. For the people that signed up back in the day, and the reason that water districts were allowed to happen and water companies were allowed to happen was just because there was no way a city could afford to go, you know, 12 miles or 15 miles over to Belmont and run a water line for five farmers. And that was, therefore, we were given the impetus to do that and given the initial seed money to do that. And that's what we've done. But as you mentioned, especially if you look north of I-10, that's all changed. And so we're going to have to morph with it. And I will tell you some things that we've done to try to go get water or try to, alleviate the situation. The one that's kind of under the radar for most people is we are out leasing water like people used to do oil leases or still do oil leases. We lease Carrizo water from landowners in Guadalupe County. There's an organization called the GCGCD. You're going to get a lot of alphabet today. Guadalupe County Groundwater Control District. They meet downtown. They have offices downtown. And they have mapped through the state every single piece of property that has Carrizo water running underneath it. And to be frank, there's no correlation between the size of the property and the amount of acre feet of water underneath.
Right.
So you could have 1,000 acres of land east of town and have 12 acre feet of water, or you could have 5 acres of land and you could have 15 acre feet of water. And we've started going in and leasing the water rights to them. And what it does is it's completely a paper transaction. I sign with John Q. Smith over off East Highway 90A, and John Q. Smith gives me rights to pay John Q. for that 5.2 acre feet of water. I go to GCGCD and file it with them. And we have wells drilled down in the southeast corner of the county, near Nixon, but in our county, that are drilled into the aquifer. And for lack of a better, lack of a scientific term, by me getting 5 more acre feet from John Q. Smith, they allow me to turn the tap on at the pump for an extra 15 seconds a week. That equals that 5 acre feet. 5 acre feet, there's a rule that's 2.5, so 5 acre feet gives me 12 houses. I could go to a subdivision or a trailer park or something and say, now I've got water for these 12. So, of course, you want to see bigger than John Q. Smith's 5, but I'm gathering 5s and 10s. I'm gathering, you know, the old Ray Kroc from McDonald's. I gather all the nickels and dimes and quarters, and sooner or later I'll have dollars. And so we're doing that. Again, we want to be at the big kids' table in terms of being able to buy water. There are some initiatives out there from the Seguin Shirts local government company. They have a new water plant coming online, actually, very coincidentally, maybe not, down near our water wells that we would be able to tap into if we're working to try to secure large amounts of water from them. We're still talking with GBRA as well as all the other organizations, doing what we can to be able to start picking these subdivisions off and saying, hey, subdivision ABC, we now have water for you. You can start building. And they can't, they can't break ground to build. They can run their streets and their water lines, but they can't break ground for a house per Guadalupe County regulations or any other county regulations for that matter, until they have electricity, water, and either sewer or septic set up. So we're the holdup. We know it.
Mike Andrews is our guest on the Saturday Topic program. Mike is the general manager for the Springs Hill Water Supply Corporation. They have a big election coming up on Saturday, May 4th. This will be for the conversion of the Water Supply Corporation into a special utility district. Mike is sort of laying out the details for why they believe that is necessary. The board of directors certainly in support of that notion. And he's talked a little bit about why the Water Corporation needs to do this to give them, as he says, a place at the big table. So I will ask this question because I hear it from time to time for people who question the availability of water. You're talking about getting access to the water that's available, but I think people often don't understand how water rich and fortunate we are in so many ways for this region, because not just the run of the river rights that exist, the surface water on the Guadalupe River, but the Carrizo Wilcox Aquifer is just flat out amazing as far as the amount of water that is available.
So you're absolutely right. You know, compared to Hondo, Castroville, going out west, compared to Abilene. Yeah. Let's just use that, you know, and any of that. We're very, very fortunate. You mentioned the run of the river. The Guadalupe River has ample water. People are concerned about the Canyon Lake being drawn down. Well, I will tell you, the average depth is there's a well that they look at, and it's 900 feet, and it's down to 890. Oh, my.
Right.
You know, and by the way, and GBRA will tell you this, that is a reservoir. That is not a recreational lake. The fact that there's docks and there's marinas and stuff there, okay. But in the long run,
that was never its purpose.
Yeah, it's a reservoir first and foremost.
Right.
And there's plenty of water in the river. And really, there's a lot of water in the river, let's say between Belmont, take out Gonzales because they're there, but Belmont and Victoria. That there's nobody building in that general area. And so there's lots of river water there that could be maybe harnessed and brought, believe it or not, back north. But then you mentioned the Carrizo Wilcox. And that's just not a hyphen for two scientists. It's two rivers running on top of each other. The Carrizo's closer to the surface. It's much easier to drill for, therefore much cheaper to drill for. And frankly, the water needs less purification, needs less processing than the Wilcox water, which tastes like brackish water, quite frankly. And the Wilcox water is 350 feet deep. So it's about four times the cost to drill, and then you've got to be able to purify it. Much more stringent specifications for that. So as a result, very few companies are going after the Wilcox water. It costs more, harder to do, blah, 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 blah. But there's plenty of it. The Carrizo, and I'll get an update when I go to a board meeting at the GCGCD today. I'm speaking there later on today. Last I heard, only 45% of all the Carrizo water had been leased. That doesn't mean used, but leased and tied up. And some of the other companies are holding the water for a rainy day, or lack of a rainy day, I guess would be the right word, a drought day. And so that's there. I will tell you, I was asked this at the annual meeting on Tuesday the 2nd, well, is there, and this kind of goes back to one of the other questions, should we, you know, be saying no to more developments? Do you foresee us ever running out of water? Well, the statistician in me and the math guy in me said, well, it's always possible. if they were building huge subdivisions down toward Belmont and huge going out 1117, I can't say no. But I can tell you that I have already seen plans, nothing super solid, and I don't think people would get upset about this, but plans by the state to potentially put in desalinization plants at the coast. This is what they do in Morocco. This is what they do in, I hate to say Libya, but this is what they do in all the northern Africa desert countries. They grab water through out of the Mediterranean. They put it through a desalinization plant. It's unlimited water. The Gulf of Mexico would pretty much be unlimited water. The cost is not the desalinization plant. The cost is running 300 miles of pipeline to Abilene, 240 miles of pipeline to Hondo from, you know, Tivoli,
right,
or from Sargent, or from down at the King Ranch, and those are areas I'm just threw out randomly, that you would put desalinization plants on, grab that water, and bring it up. But if we need to go to that eventually, fine. But I agree with you, Darren, for this area, you know, this area of east to East Texas is not an issue. Up through the hill country, maybe not very far past Fredericksburg, because like Llano and Brady and some of those places, they're hurting for water. And it arcs back over toward Bandera and Hondo and that. San Antonio saw this problem and addressed it 35 years ago, and they're on top of it. But again, they're a municipality, and so they've got that. And it's a matter of you know, eventually getting the money to saying, okay, I'm going to drill a Wilcox well. You know, and I could drill one Wilcox well, and I might get enough water for 3,500 houses. And so that's there.
So we've talked about the why and how this would work, but I guess my question would be, what happens? You clearly want people to vote for
absolutely
to change. I mean, I'll play devil's advocate. What happens if you don't do this? Where does that leave the Water Corporation if you don't make this change? How will you move forward at that point?
Well, what I will do, and it's ironic given me, but I'll belt tighten. certain things like, I pledge no rate increase this year, but if we don't have that and I keep having to pay interest on notes that are at 5%. By the way, as a SUD, we're not allowed to pass on a credit card charge if you pay your bill. So if your bill is $75 and you pay $75, that's all you get charged. If I'm not a SUD, which I'm not right now, and I could add that credit card fee, I'll just say that we paid $165,000 last year in credit card fees. That would be something I would look, you know, and all of these, if I'm a voter, think that's effective, you know, that's affecting me. What it's also going to do is you're going to see, if I can't get the water to ABC subdivision on Highway 46, that's blank land, and these developers have held this up. They're going to use what I would call, you know, it's the nuclear threat's too strong a word. It's they're going to want to carve out part of my front yard, so to speak. And that's already happened, where landowners and developers that own a certain plot of land have the right to go to the Public Utility Commission and decertify from Springs Hill. Or decertify from any other, wherever they're geographically located. Now, we would argue, you know, we'll argue that we'd like you to stay, but it's their right. And so we don't really can't fight the decertification. There is a negotiation as to how much they pay to take out my front yard and put their house in my front yard, so to speak. Because then they have to go find water on their own if they do that. It's not my problem, not my circus, not my monkey. But they would pay us a fee, and we would negotiate that fee through the state, through arbitrators. But then that's less assets that I have, less that I can potentially have houses on that I could make water sales that would help fund infrastructure improvements. And so that makes that tougher on us. And frankly, you know, we've had places decertify on us, just a few. And you might have heard there was a lot of news about this about August of last year, I think. We did what we called a CCN swap with the city of Seguin. And what it was for money to help me buy some of this water that when I was at the little kids' table and pay down my note. I only have one note left. We swapped, with the PUC's permission, and they've granted it, a swath of area north of I-10 that's basically Cordova Road back to I-10 between 46 and 123. And some going up 46 toward Rudloff and a little farther up, a little narrower swath of land there on the north side of Cordova Road. And so we done that. They're in the we're in the process of working with Tim Howe and the City of Seguin, who, by the way, City of Seguin folks, Tim Howe's dynamite, great utility director. He just won an award, I think, for Manager of the Year. Working that out to where our lines, you know, our lines are there. We're taking a tap from them so that their water will start going through that line, and they're doing it subdivision by subdivision. And, you know, but one of the things I got out of this, I'm getting money. One of the things I lost is suddenly, you know, Swenson Heights with 205 houses that were paying Springs Hill every month are now paying the City of Seguin. So I'm losing that revenue. So there's, it's a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of a tough trade-off. And I don't want to do that. I want my customers. I want to keep my customers. Not that there's a difference in the water quality or anything like that. I just want to keep my customers, just like any other business doesn't sure. You know, Home Depot doesn't want to see a Lowe's come in and take their customers there. They want them all to keep coming to Home Depot if they were Pape, whatever, you know.
Mike Andrews is our guest on the Saturday Topic program. We're talking about the election on May 4th, where Springs Hill Water Supply Corporation will be asking its members to consider allowing it to become a special utility district. We're sort of laying out the reasons why the board of directors has made this recommendation and put it on the ballot. Mike's sort of running through the operational side and what that will mean to them going forward. So I want to ask a couple of questions about if this change is approved, because people will see, well, now that we're this, you know, sort of quasi-governmental body, will you have the power that so many governments have, like eminent domain? Can you come in and say, boy, we got to do this infrastructure work, and we're, you know, either you're going to negotiate with us or we're going to come in and take it?
Well, yes, we do, and we currently have it. That's not changing. And it really goes to my blanket statement that operationally, day-to-day operations don't really change. We can eminent domain. We can negotiate for easements. We can, you know, do all of those things. We still have an elected board of directors. We had an elected board of directors before. We still will have a website where you know, and we still have the ability for you to call in. I have a leak on, you know, Sunbelt Road. Come fix my leak. All of those things don't change. I will mention one thing that does change, and this is, I think, a positive for the consumer. I've mentioned, if not three, this will be the fourth time I'm not raising rates. However, as a private company, I could, and I say I, the board, could vote to raise rates every month. If we're a SUD, as a state agency, we are limited in terms of rate increases per year. And so that it's limited for all SUDs across the state. We have, I think it's like 9%. But again, we haven't done one. But the point is, you've got some backstop for you in terms of that kind of thing happening. You can still, if you're super unhappy, you could still litigate. You would be litigating through the state of Texas, not through us personally as a private, which, by the way, my indemnity insurance will go down over $100,000 a year, which, again, can be plowed back into tackling especially a lot of this stuff on the south side, some of our original customers. And I've said Country Club and Chaparral, and that would be ground zero for that. Guadacoma would be, Sunbelt Road would be, down 1117. A lot of original places that we want to be able to start immediately plowing dollars into.
Because this is a membership organization, can you explain what happens to the investments that the members have made if this conversion is approved?
They transfer over. So again, no difference there. If you suddenly move to Amarillo, God bless you. If you suddenly move to Amarillo by morning, just like anybody else that moves and leaves their place of residence or business, your membership fee is refunded. It won't be any different once we're a SUD. The membership fees are always a one-time, and that doesn't change. We can't charge. We can't suddenly say we need more membership fee. Not allowed to do that. So if you bought it, if you got a membership fee in 1969, that membership fee is still good until the day you say, I don't want water anymore and I'm moving out. That simple.
So it'll all just transfer over to the SUD.
Yep. The biggest thing is we probably will get to repaint the water towers. I want to do them NASCAR-like. I want to start selling sponsorships. That's Johnny's Barbecue. Here it goes. Well, CMC, the water tower at CMC is our water tower. It has CMC on it. So that kind of gave me the idea. Yeah. Elvis on the water tower. Yeah. Oh, boy.
There you go. Mike Andrews is our guest on the Saturday Topic. A couple more questions before I let you go. And I'm listening to this, and in preparing for this interview, the thought that came to mind was, why didn't this happen before?
That's a real valid question, Darren. It didn't need to happen before until all this explosion of subdivision development in our area. So, frankly, to be fair to predecessors in my position, it didn't need to happen before that. I would tell you that I think that maybe there was some slow reactivity by my couple of predecessors in terms of looking at this, and they were maybe more focused on day-to-day operations than strategic. And I think one of the reasons I was brought in is that, especially with my finance, I could figure out what we could afford to be able to say and do and go after for water. And it was obvious when I was on the board a year and a half ago, we needed to be able to get ourselves a better financing arm to do this. And so that was the whole sud thought and idea is that we really wanted to shore up the opportunity to get that water. And I'll just give you a couple of little facts that are somewhat related to us. One of the things for one of my notes, the last note I'm paying on, we have to give them who the top 10 water users are. And number one's Caterpillar. Not a surprise.
Sure.
Obviously, that tells you they're one of our customers, not the city. Number three is CMC. And so I was expecting to see something like Navarro High School, Navarro Elementary. Blah, blah. No. Number 10. This one just blows my mind. It's the rest area on I-10 at the Kingsbury exit. That's a lot of flushing and a lot of water fountain. Yeah. That's all there is there for water. It's those two things.
I would have never guessed that, but it makes total sense when you think about what's happening.
And as soon as I read it, I sent our water meter person out to see if there was a leak. I was thinking of a Jack and a Beanstalk thing. There was going to be some huge trees. No. So, I mean, it's sometimes surprising who's using a lot of the water. Sometimes not. Caterpillar CMC make perfectly good sense. The other thing is that when we talked about it for a moment, you know, there's a lot of water in Canyon Lake, da-da-da-da-da-da. There are subdivisions going in, not within our county, but close. Martindale just broke ground on a subdivision for 1,000 houses. And I think they have a population of like 52, and I'm making up a number, but it's not big.
No, it's small.
On the other side, all right, if you know where Creek, most people know where Creekside and Fryhide is, up there in northeast of New Braunfels, where the Buc-ee's is. And there's a hospital, Resolute Hospital there. And behind that, usually people maybe come back to Zorn on 1101, get back into the county. A developer has bought land. It's called the Mayfield, I believe, development.
I think that's right.
7,200 houses.
Yeah.
1,900 of which they've broken ground on. They're putting their own elementary school, junior high, and high school in there. They're discussing putting in their own water plant, drilling their own wells, and putting in their own water towers, and basically vertically integrating and taking care of themselves. Well, that water is still going to be coming from somewhere underground. They're going to do Wilcox wells or negotiating to pull water from Canyon Lake. So, I mean, the development's happening. You can have it happen around you and then sit there. What are we going to do? We can't build houses. And I also I'm really good friends with a number of our ranchers around here, and they bemoan the fact that there's very little land left to ranch on or to grow crops on. And they're absolutely right, but these lands aren't selling themselves. Some rancher or farmer is making the decision, you know,
making me an offer I can't refuse.
Right.
I mean, in many cases, they're getting generational wealth that's almost impossible for them to turn down.
And I'm not going to be the one that tells them they should or shouldn't.
Right, right.
Because I'm just wanting to put water out there. That's all.
Right, right.
You know, I'm just that simple. So I would ask, as in any election, please go vote. If you're a Springs Hill member, please do go vote. And if you're not, and there's other election items, please go vote for those, of course. I would like you to, of course, consider voting positive for this if you so desire. We will endeavor to paint the water towers with your input. Maybe we can maybe they're putting out the different colored squirrels around town.
There you go.
We can, you know, we can take the Barkas Tower by Johnny's, and we can take the one over at CMC, and we got a couple of others, and we can, you know, we can come up with all the Matador Lifegate. You know, Navarro, we'll put a purple one. We have one out by at Geronimo, right by Navarro. We can make that one purple. Which, by the way, we're going to be building. They're going to be building fire stations in elementary schools if that bond election happens. And guess where they're going to be? In Springs Hill. And so I will have to allocate water to them before I can give it to a subdivision.
You got 8,500 properties.
11,500
now. You think you can get that down to 8,500?
Oh, no. We have 11,500 current residents. And have 8,500 more that it's going to be added on. So that's, you know, almost in essence a doubling.
Almost doubling.
Within 3 years.
Right. So looking at that number, just trying to meet that demand, we know that demand's not going to go down. It's only going to go up. Will this will position you to even go beyond what you're trying to meet and that you know is in the pipeline right now, no pun intended, but that you know is coming this way, and give you at least the positioning to be ready to look even further down the road.
Looking further down the road, being able to, again, don't bemoan this, being at the big kids, the adult's table for food, or adult's table for the water pitcher, so that when a subdivision says, we're going to go on the other side of the airfield on 90A, and, you know, it's not in the plans right now, but it's going to be. Like you said, growth's going to continue to happen.
Right.
Oh, okay, well, that's fine. Instead of having to wait, there's some of these folks that are on the 8,500 list that haven't gotten water that they applied back in 2019. So it's been almost 5 years.
All right.
So we want to not be able to have to wait 5 years for the next group.
All right, let's do this last thing, because I want to make sure that people understand how to participate in this process. Those members that are eligible to vote, how do they go about voting? They don't just show up at the office and wait to see the white smoke and come up, and then you know it's all good. I mean, so explain that process. Where is the voting going to take place?
At the traditional polling places that you can always vote at. You can certainly always go down to the election office down here near downtown. Help me remember the street. Is it Milam?
Milam Street.
Yes. Thank you. They're on the 4th, which is a Saturday, you know, and I'm the statistician in me knows that turnout will probably not be heavy, but we would, again, encourage people to come out and vote. You can apply for an absentee ballot and then turn that in the traditional way that you would with an absentee ballot. Election night after 7 p.m. when the polls close, I do not think it will take them long to process a single question ballot. Might take them longer to process the board of directors piece of it, but it shouldn't take them long to process this. And I should also say that even though, I'll use an example, my Springs Hill water bill says Michael Andrews on it, but my wife Candace can still vote. So all registered voters that are in that household that are on XYZ Street, 123 XYZ Street, that are a Springs Hill customer, every registered voter that is at that address, and we've already turned that into the county, the set of addresses and the members, and they've ferreted out in terms of the number of voters, and they can all please do come vote.
Mike Andrews, our guest on the Salary Topic Program. Folks, remember, this is an important election for the Springs Hill Water Supply Corporation, as they want to convert themselves into a special utility district for all the reasons that Mike and I have discussed this morning on this Saturday topic. Mike Andrews, it's always a pleasure to see you, and I appreciate you coming in and trying to offer a little bit of background on this situation and explain to people exactly what the plan is going forward. So thank you so much.
Well, I appreciate your time and help. It's been really tough for me to go 30 minutes telling a joke or doing Elvis. But thank you.
Don't forget, folks, May 4th is the day. It's a Saturday for the Springs Hill Water Supply Corporation as they look to convert into the special utility district. Mike Andrews, thanks again. Folks, make sure you join us next week on the Saturday Topic Program. Until then, I'm Darren Dunn. Be well.